HTXT AfriCast is sponsored by Neotel, South Africa's first converged communications network operator. Neotel, inspiring possibilities.
Greetings and welcome to the HTXT AfriCast. Today is Wednesday, the 27th of August, and I'm joined in studio by Charlie Fripp.
Good afternoon.
And Dion Duplessis.
Hello.
We're back again for another day of fantastic amazingness on the HTXT AfriCast. We're going to start off today with a little bit of crowdfunded journalism. Apparently, there is a whole bunch of guys that used Kickstarter, or one guy at least, who used Kickstarter to track down members of ISIS in Syria and find the guys who killed James Foley. If you don't know, that was there was a video doing the rounds on social media that showed his beheading, and basically, the American government not able to save him. There was someone who wanted to track down his killers. So, Charlie, you wrote about this, eh?
Yes. It wasn't more of tracking down his killers as it was tracking down the location, because if you have the location, then you can start tracking down the people. So what Elliot Higgins did, a while back, he took to Kickstarter, and he started a project called Bellingcat, and he wanted funds to launch investigative journalism exactly for this purpose, to track down the locations of where things happen around the world. And the ISIS group, the Islamic State, which they are now known as, posted a couple of pictures online of their graduation and their march somewhere. And they used these pictures and incorporated it into Google Earth and Flash Earth. And they said, oh, look, these locations correspond to the pictures. And they actually tracked them down to the northern side of the Tigris River in Mosul, Iraq. And they used the same thing for James Foley's murderers. They looked at the picture, at the one of the stills, and even though it just looks like a normal desert picture, was like nothing except sand, they could see a road and where hills started and ended, and in the distance they could see what seemed like either a tree line or small buildings. And they eventually managed to figure out where that exact location is and where he was murdered.
This is sort of like when the internet came together and basically found the Boston bombing suspects faster than the FBI was able to.
Yes.
So basically, the lesson of the day is, while the NSA may know 850 billion things about the world, they can't be as efficient as Reddit.
No, if you give people technology and you tell them, find me a specific something, I'm sure they will do it in record time.
Yeah, basically, the internet is a scary place full of scary people, and sometimes they do good stuff.
Yeah, but go have a look at Bellingcat. They do some amazing work there, and they have a couple of other projects up there as well.
Speaking of amazing things, we can jump into our sponsor for the HTXT AfriCast, Neotel, who, of course, do help us out with being able to bring this to you every day. Neotel is South Africa's first converged communications network operator. It provides a range of value-added voice, internet, and data services for enterprise, wholesale, and retail customers in Southern Africa. Powered by Neotel's high-performance fiber-optic backbone, its next-generation network challenges the status quo, making communication simpler and inspiring you to the next level. For more information, you can call 0860-NEOTEL, which is 0860-636-835, or visit neotel.co.za. Neotel, inspiring possibilities, making the HTXT AfriCast possible, and letting us get straight into our second story, because they love us so much, which is basically about how Skynet is coming. Skynet, if you haven't ever watched the Terminator trilogy, or Terminator quadrilogy of movies now, A, what is wrong with you? And B, the main antagonist is Skynet, which is a self-aware artificial intelligence that uses a whole bunch of robots to try and destroy humanity. That has started.
What worries me is it seems to be an awfully natural conclusion for robots to reach, is that humanity is the problem and needs to be exterminated. And with this robo brain, what worries me is that it says that it learns concepts by A, searching the internet, please never find 4chan, and B, by observing humans. I hope it's the right humans they're observing, because there's some pretty interesting things they could learn from the wrong people.
I was going to say, if they observe Reddit, they're also going to have some problems.
Yeah. So basically, RoboBrain is a giant repository of internet-sourced information that robots will be able to refer to when they're trying to help out humans and don't understand stuff. So it's basically, it knows what a cup is because it can recognize a cup. It knows that if there is liquid inside that cup, it shouldn't be turned upside down, unless, of course, that cup is fresh out of the dishwasher and is now ready to be stored somewhere, in which case it can be orientated in whichever which way. They've had robots in the past that have learnt by watching video, but they've always had to train themselves on each aspect. This is sort of a imagine the Google repository or the YouTube repository of how robots can do anything. And the creepy part of it is that if you go to RoboBrain's webpage, it shows you what it has learned in real time. So as it learns something, it puts a little blog post up, and it learned how to use a mouse. It can recognize the buttons on a microwave and adjust mic. Like, it's all stuff that sounds, you know, stupid and easy to do for a human. But, you know, you keep hearing people say that operating an AK-47 is as easy as using a toaster. It can use a toaster. We're one step away from being exterminated as the human race.
Part of me thinks the only reasonable explanation for this is somebody who has already come back from the future and is teaching us these things in order to make the events from Terminator happen. I hope to hell that isn't the case.
Yeah. Oh, well. Speaking of things that humans do spend their time doing, is taking photos, especially on Instagram. You know, people take photos of their food for some reason and think that that's what we need to know about their day. But anyway, Instagram has created a new app called Hyperlapse, which does time-lapse photography in a hyper way.
Yes.
Yeah.
The full name of the app is Hyperlapse by Instagram.
Of course.
From Instagram, sorry. And what it is, it's an app where you can take time-lapse videos, edit it down to the playback speed that you wanted, and then share it. But by nature, time-lapse videos are quite long, laborious things.
Yeah. Like you've either got to have a tripod to keep it steady so that you don't get any shake in the frame, or you've got to have one of those really nice balanced cradles or whatever that you know takes out all the anti-shake stuff and everything like that.
But this app uses some very, very clever technology which takes all the shake out of it.
Yeah, so which is really from cool. Instagram's normal video capturing part of their app. Yeah.
Yeah, and to get the most out of this app, if you have an iPhone 4, you can record up to 10 minutes of waves crashing, birds flying, people walking. And if you have a iPhone 5, you can capture up to 45 minutes of whatever is moving very quickly. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that's moving very quickly. It just needs to be something that's moving. And then you can select your playback speed, either, you know, 12 times, 24 times, 36 times faster, I think. And I think the last one was 48. Bob's your uncle. You have some really amazing time lapse.
You can't import any videos into it.
Not as far as I know. No, you just open the app into the camera. You take the
video in the app,
and then there you go.
Okay. That should be interesting. Can't wait to see someone doing a time lapse of their food being eaten.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's coming.
No, that's definitely coming. Something that is going rather than coming here. Battlefield 4 losing some love from the PC community to PS4.
Yeah, I must say, I'm not really surprised at this. The whole story is that Battlefield 4 is now being played by more PS4 gamers than PC. PC is pretty much Battlefield's strongest platform, or has been for years. But since Battlefield 4 was released, there have been quite a few bugs and lag issues, and EA just hasn't actually addressed them properly yet. And I think as a result, a lot of PC gamers are just abandoning the platform and not playing as much as they used to, which leaves PS4 gamers to take up the slack. It's not like PS4 gamers have really increased in the numbers that are playing Battlefield 4. It's just that the PC gamer numbers have dropped, and it's probably more a technical thing than it is, you know, it's just so much better on PS4.
I didn't know that people still played Battlefield 4.
For some people, Battlefield is a religion. A lot of guys will go home and play from the time they get home to the time they go to sleep. So, no, it's pretty popular.
Because I think I mentioned to you, Dion, as soon as an expansion pack comes out, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I would play it up to the point, like, up to playing it for like 5 or 6 hours a day. But as soon as the first expansion pack comes out, I'm like, yeah, all right, this is it for me, thanks.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's just I get sick of the games. I don't want to add more content onto it and then more content. It's I play it, get the feel for it, and have my fun, and then I'm done.
Yeah. The problem is there's that initial phase where everyone seems to get massive amounts of experience because they're willing to pump 9 hours a day into playing the game. And you rock up there as fresh Kippy, you're level one, and all of a sudden some oak who's got like a level 97 sniper rifle pots you in the head from halfway across the map, and you just respawn so that he can pop you again in the head.
Yeah, I think that's the problem for me in Battlefield. I play for a while, but then you stop playing and you go back and everyone's level is so much higher than yours and you just suck in comparison because you haven't unlocked all the right equipment.
Yeah, and I refuse to pay. I will not pay for equipment in a game.
Yeah, no, I don't do the whole pay for unlocks thing either.
No, that's dumb. One should never have to pay.
That's usually the issue as well, because most of my friends will get the expansion pack, and then I don't.
And then you can't play with them anymore.
And then I can't play with them. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, stuff it.
Oh, well. Speaking of things you can play with, Lego, which everyone absolutely loves. The world's most popular Lego exhibition is coming to Cape Town in December. It's called The Art of the Brick, which I don't know if I'm happy with that name, but whatever. It looks pretty cool. I mean, we've got some photos up on the site. He's built what looks like a half-human. It looks like a human is swimming out of Lego bricks, and it really is cool. I want to have this much Lego in my house. Like, this is what I want out of life.
I must admit, when I see a Lego sculpture that big, my first thought is, holy hell, how much did that cost you, guy?
Lots.
My first thought is, how in the world did you do that? Because I couldn't build, like, a basic house. it looked like the house from my, almost said My Three Pigs, from the Three Little Pigs. You know, it was like a basic square and a tacked-on roof. And I'm like, how do you do that?
The artist is a guy from New York, Nathan Sawaya. He seems to have quite a flair for it. I mean, he's got pretty artsy stuff going on. There's a Lego man standing with a staircase that goes into his stomach and another Lego man who is walking up said staircase towards him, which looks kind of cool. I just want to know if he has any pirate ships and if he's willing to let me play with the pirate ships. That was my favorite Lego set when I was growing up.
Oh, that can be so cool.
Lego pirates were fantastic.
I would settle for some of that Star Wars Lego.
That's the stuff that I could build, is the ones that come with the instructions.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, take this block, put it there. But don't give me like a bucket of 5,000 bricks and go, use your imagination. I'm like, and you're going to get a square. Guaranteed.
Yeah. So your imagination, what we're saying now is your imagination is a square.
Maybe when I was like 7 or 8.
You know what it's like, though. I mean, you give people tools to create, and they come up with the most amazing things. I mean, you look at this, and this is pretty much real-life Minecraft. And the stuff that happens in Minecraft is mind-blowing.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, you know, like I've played 4 minutes of Minecraft when I realized that it wasn't for me. And then you've got people's kids who spend days playing Minecraft, and they build these elaborate worlds and everything. And I'm looking at them, and I'm going, A, where do you have the time? Oh, right, you're a kid. Of course you have the time. I remember being a kid. I had all the time in the
world.
Free
time, what's free time?
Exactly. And B, you have this one thing. You know, like, I remember the first video game I got. I put, like, 150 hours into it because it was the only thing I could play. Nowadays, if I get a new video game every 2 weeks, it's like, oh, cool, 8 hours. Let me smash through. I get scared of games like Skyrim, which have 100 hours of content. I'm like, where is 100 hours going to come from? No one has that. And Lego is one of those things. You can either get the thing with instructions and be like, woohoo, I built it and fantastic. Or you can be the guy who sits there and plans it out over days and weeks and builds this mega monolith thingy that looks amazing.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of things that look amazing, he, the artist of
Nathan.
The show, Nathan,
yeah,
he's also created the Mona Lisa and the Venus de Milo. So, I mean, it's like, wow.
Yeah, well, that's technically, I mean, someone else has done that first. You know, it's not like he created the Mona Lisa. He sort of went, how do I recreate the Mona Lisa? Like, Leonardo da Vinci created that thing. And granted, if the man had Lego and not oils, he would have made it out of Lego because they're so much better.
Can you imagine? Oh, this is the first sculpture by Leonardo out of Lego.
Ah, that would be amazing. I'd see, that would tempt me into the Louvre.
That would be so,
like,
cool.
This is Lego Leonardo da Vinci. Not like a little Lego minifig of him. This is just his works in Lego.
Leonardo.
I would go to a Leonardo exhibition, even if we did that now.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Leonardo.
Do that, you have my money. I think we've lost the plot. It's a good thing that we've lost the plot right at the end of the episode, though. So, Dee, thanks so much for coming.
Sure, anytime.
Charlie, same to you.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for joining us. As always, if you'd like to send us some mail, you can reach us on podcast@htxt.co.za. Alternatively, if you'd like to subscribe, which you definitely should, you can search for HTXT Africast in iTunes, or just grab the feed into your favorite podcatcher at htxt.co.za/podcast. So we'll see you tomorrow. We'll be back with some more amazing stories and things that you will find interesting, we hope.
The HTXT Africast is sponsored by Neotel, South Africa's first converged communications network operator. Neotel, inspiring possibilities.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.